Turn to Romans chapter 1. We see in verse 17 and verse 18 two realities. One is verse 17, the righteousness of God, and that is revealed. And then in verse 18, we see the wrath of God, and that also is revealed or displayed, manifested. Those two facts, the righteousness of God, the wrath of God, are offensive to lost man. The righteousness of God declares he does have a standard, and lost man doesn't like that. The wrath of God declares that man is accountable because he comes short of God's righteousness. Man doesn't like to think about the wrath of God. We've seen, if you look at God's attributes, his characteristics, the things that make up his person, two attributes, God's sovereignty and God's holiness. When we think of such attributes as God's wrath, God's anger, God's hatred, and those three are very closely related. As you think of those particular three attributes, you must always remember, they center upon God's sovereignty, God's holiness. Because we tend to think of wrath or anger, we give it a bad connotation. That, of course, cannot be so with God. God is holy, God is perfect. When God is angry, it is perfect anger. When God pours out his wrath, which is the display of his anger, it is a perfect anger. When God hates, it is a perfect hatred. And it is sovereign. That is, God has the right to be angry. He has the right to hate. He has the right to pour out his wrath, just as much as he has the right to love whomsoever he chooses to love. So we've been looking at that phrase, the wrath of God. That little preposition of expresses a relationship between wrath and God. There is a relationship between wrath and God. Wrath belongs to God. We read of many, many, many times that phrase, the wrath of God. We looked at many verses last week where we find that phrase, the wrath of God. We also see such phrases as the wrath of the Lord, thy wrath, his wrath, my wrath. We want to look at, again, just some of those verses. And just like last week, we'll be looking at a lot of verses. But what we're doing is establishing the fact of the wrath of God. Because Romans 1 is the display of the wrath of the Lord. So we've already seen the phrase, the wrath of God. And there's also that phrase, the wrath of the Lord. And as you read these verses, you begin to learn some things about God's wrath. You begin to learn some characteristics of God's wrath. But the wrath, God's wrath, is a fact. It is a fact. And a lot of people, a lot of God's people, have the notion that if God pours out his wrath upon you, all you have to do is repent, and then he will withdraw that wrath. You cannot prove that from Scripture. In fact, we could prove otherwise. There are times when man repents and God withholds his wrath. We read that. But there's also times when man repents and God's wrath is still there. God's sovereign. God's holy. He can display his wrath however he pleases. And it's this notion, I'm sorry, it's a fire escape. And people use that, again, has a fire escape. But Numbers chapter 11, verse 33. Midway through that verse, we read, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. Kindled. It just wasn't sudden. It was kindled over a period of time. But we read that phrase, the wrath of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings 22 and verse 13. Again, about halfway through, for great is the wrath of the Lord. That is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. Because of our fathers, God's wrath can experience the wrath of God due to your fathers, those who went before you, due to their sin. You say, well, that's not right. God's holy. God's sovereign. You cannot complain about God's display of his wrath. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. In verse 12, and here we have an example of one repenting and God's wrath being withdrawn. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord, there it is again, the wrath of the Lord, turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether or completely. And also in Judah, things went well. Chapter 29. Chapter 29, verse 8. Wherefore, the wrath of the Lord, there it is again, the wrath of the Lord, was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble. Trouble is associated with wrath. Now, that doesn't mean that every time there's trouble, that it's an evidence of God's wrath. But when God displays his wrath, there is trouble. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 26. And here again, we see God withdrawing his wrath, restraining his wrath. Latter part of the verse, the wrath of the Lord. The wrath of the Lord. Again, of is, shows a connection between wrath and the Lord. Came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Chapter 34 and verse 21. Midway through, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us. And notice again, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. You and I can sin, and perhaps God's wrath is not poured down upon us. But because of our sin, God's wrath may be poured down upon the next generation. Again, people say, well, that's not fair. Well, again, God is holy. God is perfect. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 16. Latter part of the verse, the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. So there, obviously, there are various varying degrees of God's wrath. He does not pour it out the same way every single time. He does not pour it out to the same degree every single time. But there is a degree of God's wrath in which there is no remedy. In other words, there's no turning back. There's no way to escape this wrath of God. It's just going to continue on. In Psalm 106 and verse 40. The wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people. Again, kindled. Didn't just happen at once. It was over a period of time. God is long-suffering. But we see the wrath, so we've seen the wrath of God, the wrath of the Lord. We see throughout scriptures, people speak of thy wrath. Thy wrath. Speaking of God's wrath. Notice in the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Book of Exodus, chapter 15. Verse 7. He talks about the greatness of his excellency and how he overthrew the Egyptians. And then it says, thou sendest forth thy wrath. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, and it consumed them. Again, there are various degrees of God's wrath. There are various displays of God's wrath. Not all the time does God's wrath consume, but sometimes it does. But again, it's thy wrath. Notice in the book of Job, chapter 40, Book of Job, chapter 40 and verse 11. We read of the rage of thy wrath. Thy wrath. The rage of thy wrath. So God's rage, which would be his anger, is connected with his wrath. In Psalm 38 and verse 1, this David praying, Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath. We get rebuked of the Lord many times. It ought to be our prayer that God rebuke us not in his wrath. There's a big difference between the Lord rebuking us in his wrath and the Lord rebuking us in his love. Big difference. Neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. The word chasten, again, has the idea of correction. We need rebuke. We need correction. And it ought to be our prayer that it not be in wrath or hot displeasure. Hot displeasure, again, shows a greater degree of displeasure. In Psalm 88 and verse 7. Thy wrath, again, thy wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Again, thy wrath. And again, it expresses that there are degrees of God's wrath. His wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me. Again, affliction can be as a result of God's wrath, but not all affliction, as the book of Job very plainly teaches, can be attributed to the wrath of God. Psalm 89:46. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Here we see that thy wrath, it seems as God had withdrawn. Wilt thou hide thyself forever? And that's what we have in Romans chapter 1. We have that aspect of God's wrath, the withdrawing of the Lord. In Psalm 90, verse 7, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. So once again, we see thy wrath. We have the wrath of God, the wrath of the Lord, thy wrath. And there's many, many, many other verses where we find those words, thy wrath. We read of his wrath. His wrath. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 23. Deuteronomy 29:23. What we're seeing by looking at all of these verses is the wrath of God is a fact. It is real. It's prevalent throughout the Word of God. In the last part of that verse, it says, the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. His wrath. And again, there's a connection between his anger and his wrath. You really can't, wherever there is God's wrath, there is God's anger as well. Job 16, verse 9. This is Job speaking. He teareth me in his wrath. His wrath. And again, his wrath is sovereign. His wrath is holy. It is absolutely perfect. Job 19:11. He hath also kindled his wrath against me. He hath kindled, and the degree of this wrath, and he cometh, he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. This is how Job felt, that he had become an enemy of the Lord, or that the Lord had become his enemy. That's part of his wrath. In Job chapter 20, in verse 23, when he is about to fill his belly, God shall cast the fury of his wrath. Again, his wrath and the fury of his wrath. In verse 28, the increase of his house shall depart and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. And we see that throughout the Old Testament, we read of the day of God's wrath. That is, there's a special time of the wrath of God. Job chapter 32. In verse 2, his wrath was kindled. This is Elihu giving his philosophy. why God's wrath was upon Job, or why he thought God's wrath was upon Job. His wrath was kindled because he justified himself rather than his God. In verse 3, and against his three friends was his wrath kindled. His wrath. Verse 5, when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled, not God's, but Elihu. Notice in Psalm 2 and verse 5. Psalm 2, verse 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. His wrath. And God speaks in his wrath. And vex them in his sore displeasure. Again, we see displeasure and wrath. There is a connection between the two. Verse 12, we're exhorted, kiss the Son, Jesus Christ, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Even a little. Again, it tells us that there are degrees of God's wrath. Even a little of God's wrath is a very, very serious situation. Psalm 21, verse 9. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Again, his wrath. Psalm 78 and verse 38. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. People don't have any problem with that. And destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away. And how many times God does turn his anger away? Not only from God's people, but from those who are not his people. And did not stir up all his wrath. That's the mercy of God. That's the mercy of the Lord. And that's another thing when you think about his wrath. Unless God completely destroys, as Sodom and Gomorrah, or the world with a flood, there is always a degree of mercy in his wrath. No matter what degree the wrath of God is poured out upon an individual, it's less than they deserve. So there's mercy. But again, we see his wrath. His wrath. Then the Bible speaks of my wrath. God speaking. God speaking. In all these other cases, we see man is speaking of his wrath. But many times throughout the Old Testament, God says, my wrath. My wrath. So the Lord acknowledges that wrath is a part of his character. Part of his character. Again, the world does not want a God that displays wrath. They want a God that's all loving, all approving. Well, if that were the case, God wouldn't be holy. Because God is holy, he hates sin. And he displays his wrath. Notice in Exodus 22. Again, reading all these verses, we see the wrath of God is real. The wrath of God is a biblical fact. In Exodus 22, verse 24, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you. This is God speaking. With the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. My wrath. God's wrath is very serious. In Exodus 32, verse 10, Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them. This is God speaking to Moses. Moses has been praying for the people, that God would have mercy upon them. And God answers, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. That's God's right. God has a right to give life. God has a right to take life. God has a right to create. God has a right to consume. That's entirely God's right. He's sovereign. And when God consumes, He does so never outside of His holiness. God never does anything outside of His holiness. If he did even one thing outside of His holiness, that would be a blemish on the character of God. And if you have a blemish on the character of God, you don't have a God. Because God must be holy. Notice in Psalm 95, verse 11. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Talking about the children of Israel, that generation. He swore in his wrath, my wrath. Then you see that phrase in Isaiah, my wrath. It's used many, many times throughout the book of Ezekiel, my wrath. But again, all of these verses that we've read this last Sunday and this Sunday, they all declare this fact. Wrath belongs to God. Wrath is an attribute of God. And in Romans 1:18, Paul speaks of the wrath of God. The wrath of God. And then after he mentioned it there in Romans 1:18, he goes on to mention it 10 more times in the book of Romans. Notice in Romans chapter 2, Romans 2 and verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath. What a scary thing. To treasure up unto thyself wrath. Against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God's judgment, which also can be a display of His wrath, an aspect of His wrath, is always righteous. Romans 2, verse 8, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. And you can go on in throughout the book of Revelation or Romans and you see this wrath of God. Wrath is an attribute of God, just as much as any other attribute. In fact, if wrath did not belong to God, again, that would be a blemish upon His person. It would mean, if God was void of wrath, if God was void of anger, if God was void of hatred, that would mean that He would be indifferent towards sin, which would be a blemish upon His holiness. God cannot be indifferent toward sin. Even our sin, you and I that are saved, that sin that has been forgiven, God has not been indifferent toward that sin. He displayed His wrath upon His Son for that sin. So wrath is an absolute necessity to God. Because if He did not possess wrath, then He would be indifferent towards sin. He's infinitely holy. And therefore he possesses severity. Notice Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Romans 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Two different things entirely. The goodness of God. But there is also the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. And so we see there was severity that fell on them, but toward thee, goodness. That's grace. That's mercy. But there is such a thing as the severity of God. Notice in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 29. Hebrews 12, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Yes, God is love. The Bible teaches that. But the Bible also teaches that God is a consuming fire. What that means is that God is a God of anger. God is a God of displeasure. God is a God of wrath. Our God is a consuming fire. We read in the latter part of Hebrews 10, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Speaking of God's wrath, God's severity. So we'll next week begin to look at just what is the wrath of God. It's real. It's a fact. Wrath belongs to God. And in every display of God's wrath, it is absolutely free from sin because God is holy. And God has a right to pour down His wrath upon whom He pleases, wherever He pleases, whenever He pleases, because He's sovereign. We have a great God. And we should never deny any single one of His attributes. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your greatness. We thank You, Lord, for Your glory. We thank You, Lord, for revealing Yourself to us. And we pray that You would meet with us today in a special way. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.